Hey, give him a little boogie woogie. That'll get him started.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Eat A Fix, a podcast about a couple hyperfixating on obscure pop culture. I'm your co-host, Paul Unger.
And I'm your co-host, Jess Unger.
For close to a decade, we have been hyperfixating on random media and talking about it to death. And we're keeping the trend going with our segment from last episode, and that is Lights, Camera, Elvis. The many, many films of Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
On last episode, we touched on Love Me Tender, and yeah, that was an interesting one. Like, actually a pretty solid start to Elvis films. He actually has some acting chops.
So far. Yeah, so far. That's what it looks like.
But this next film kind of kicks off the slide, I want to say.
I disagree.
But
with that. The slide is when he dips his feet in with Hal Wallace, and then it's just trash fire after trash fire. So we're still getting some quality stuff. Sort of.
But this one was a lot of fun, and the film that we are talking about today is Loving You. Now, Jess.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the tagline?
Oh, gosh, yes. Please.
And again, I feel like it would have been really easy to be an ad man in, in the 50s and 60s.
I'm so excited.
All right. For the tagline for Loving You, it's, "You'll love loving you."
How? Man. Yeah.
Oh.
That is, there's the nose, and you are so on it.
That's just, if anything, just stating a random opinion about a film. That's not a tagline. That's, how do you sell a film on that?
One, Elvis. Two, nobody cares about the tagline.
I care about the tagline.
I know you care about the tagline, but back then they were just like, whatever, it's Elvis. The ticket's already bought. We don't need the tagline.
Well, you're probably right about that, but still, they should have been thinking about the person who's watching this 70 years in the future and how they'd be judged on that standard.
It's not quite 70 years, 60 years.
Oh, yes. Still. Always got to be thinking about people judging what you've written in the past on the internet.
I wonder if that's taken into account for movies. Like, do you think Spielberg is like, I wonder what they'll think of this 60 years in the future when every movie is projected holograms in your living room? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, shall we do facts?
I believe that we shall. So, Jess, tell us a little bit about this film.
It was released July 9th, 1957. It was directed by Hal Cantor. I have never heard that name. It was starring Elvis Presley, who got top billing this time, followed by Elizabeth Scott and Wendell Corey. Unknown budget for this one, which is interesting. It made $3.7 million domestic in the box office. And in terms of the plot, in small town Texas, delivery man Deke Rivers, played by Elvis, if that is your real name, Presley, this is relevant later, is discovered by publicist Glenda Markle, Elizabeth definitely not Katharine Hepburn Scott, and country western musician Tex Warner, Wendell Frank Burns' long-lost brother Corey. Believing in his talent and looking for a way to get back into the big leagues themselves, they offer him a spot in their musical group. The road to fame becomes bumpy when Glenda's questionable PR crusade to get noticed stirs up too much controversy, painting a target on Deke's back, while a relationship with another singer, Susan, Dolores, she's now a nun, Hart, makes him question if he wants this life. Elvis sings a lot.
Oh, does he ever? I really wasn't expecting that many songs to be crammed into a single movie, because they play some of those songs in their entirety a few times.
Yes. I guess so. There's that really awkward, like, medley that they play when they're doing the highway sequence with, like, the road signs coming up for the different...
Oh, yeah, with Hot Dog.
With Hot Dog a bunch of times. And, like, Ghost Elvis singing as the street signs for all the towns go by.
Yeah,
it's super weird.
People saw that in Love Me Tender and were like, I want that in my movie. Because weird... semi-see-through Elvis playing over scenery. That's what you want in a movie.
I wasn't keen on that scene.
No. It's actually, after Love Me Tender, it's just a real creepy. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, more or less. This movie actually had Elvis's parents in it at one point.
Which was actually pretty nice, because this movie was filmed and released a little bit before his mother had passed away, and before he actually got drafted and sent to the army, which was, you know, nice to have that in film. He actually has a, not really an interaction, they're just in the crowd enjoying his music.
Yeah, they were just part of the audience. It was just neat to see. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed enthusiastic. His mom seemed very enthusiastic. You don't see much of his dad. Okay, so as per usual, this is, again, as usual, a movie I've seen a few times. Actually, this is one of the movies I haven't seen too much. I think this may have been my fourth or fifth watch of it.
It's actually pretty hard to get a copy of this movie, short of paying way too much on a DVD.
Yeah, it's way easier to get, like, quad discs of four of the garbage movies.
Yeah.
No problem there. I've got a few. Box sets are harder to come by now, but some of the better movies, like Love Me Tender and Loving You and Change of Habit, are very hard to get.
I wonder if it becomes a rights issue, because he bounced back between Paramount and Fox as far as the different studios that were producing the films.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's an issue as to who can put what movies in their box set.
Yeah, because there's always glaring gaps in them. You can't get the full 32. It is...
31.
Is it 31?
31.
Why did I think it was 32? Okay. But it's nigh impossible to get them all, regardless of how many there are, in one set. Like, I have two, and I'm still missing some. I have two whole box sets, and I still don't have them all.
It's always fun trying to track down those little loose ends every time we want to watch them.
Yes. First, we have to go through them to see if we have it. Then we have to open the thing to find out if we even have the disc. Yeah, it's fun. Anyway. All right. So I've seen this a few times, and these are my niche thing. I know we had to watch it a couple times, but overall, what were your thoughts? What were your favorite parts?
I really enjoyed this film. It's one of those films that definitely would have benefited from Elvis singing a little bit less.
Yes.
I think that it was a solid story. There are some scenes that it feels like might have gone rewritten in some process, and just they didn't mesh well together. So Elvis has a romantic relationship with the character Susan, played by Dolores Hart. And they actually don't have a single moment in the film where they actually meet and talk to each other. Not even like a glance when they're in a scene together. And then it just jumps to a traveling montage, and then suddenly they're all buddy-buddy. There's no actual scene, and he has more of a romantic interest in Glenda Markle, played by Lisbeth Scott. And that's more played up for the romantic, the romantic tension. The relationship with Susan kind of feels like there's scenes that were cut out of it. that is one of those things where I feel like that could have been... There's something on the cutting floor. I feel like there's something on the cutting floor that there's scenes missing.
That's fair. I thought, like, your brain could do a pretty good job of filling in, like, oh, they must have gotten close while they were traveling because they would all travel together. And, like, yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was... I personally thought it was okay. Like, mm-hmm. your brain could fill it in. But, I mean, that's not common sense for everyone.
Yeah. And the other thing that I really enjoyed about this was... Glenda's character is this incredibly strong, confident woman. She is doing the PR for this musical group. And when she gets Elvis, she's trying to use his
appeal.
His appeal to drive interest. So in doing so, she starts cultivating sort of controversy about him by sicking these old women on a concert and... having the young people end up fighting. She's basically playing all the sides and she's trying to build controversy. She's trying to make him appear to be much bigger than he is. She's making up this big story and changing the way that he dresses. She's doing all these things. And the thing that I absolutely loved about this was one of the co-writers, who is also the director, had an interaction with Colonel Parker, who is Elvis's manager, who was notorious for fueling controversy and the anti-Elvis movement as well as the pro-Elvis movement because he could sell pins and merch to both. And he saw this and actually rewrote Glenda's character to have traits of Parker, which is really weird. Because at one scene near the end of the film,
yep.
Glenda goes to comfort Elvis in a moment where he's thinking about leaving. And it's almost implied like she could have seduced him into staying. And that just leads me to the one question of, did the Colonel sleep with Elvis?
No.
No.
In all it's my just, research.
It's just a weird thing. If you had a character that was based on you and suddenly they're macking on someone else who is based on another person, you would start to go, did that happen?
I hope not. But no, it's true. I started off with these big, like, wow, there's a whole lot of feminism in this film. Like, it's really female forward and it's female led and she's really strong. And it's like, this is so out of character for any Elvis movie that I've seen. And, like, it even came down to a part where Deke was talking to Tex about Glenda's management of him. And he mentioned, we have a 50-50 split. And she hasn't taken a dime from me yet. And I thought, 50-50 split? Oh, no. This is based on Tom Parker. I thought, oh, God. But, like, unlike Tom, Colonel Tom, sorry, he did not ever tear up their contract. Ever.
No.
Even when Elvis was, like, sick and tired of life because he just didn't want to do it anymore and he was dying at 300 pounds and wouldn't leave Graceland, he was still like, let's milk Elvis for all he's worth. Sucked.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
So, outside of that, what were your thoughts on the film? You've seen this a few times.
Yes.
And this is what you would consider the good era of Elvis movies.
One of them. Yes.
So, what did you think of this one?
My observations, I would say, are a little different than, say, your quote-unquote conventional ones. Because my first thought is, the teeth in this film. There are some good teeth in this film. Glenda's character has an overbite, but good lord, like, them some straight teeth and so white, although she did wear red lipstick, which enhances white. I don't know why I'm rambling on about this, but, like, Elvis has great teeth. I have always thought that. The guy who played Tex has really good teeth. I don't know, I wasn't paying attention to Dolores Hart's teeth, but I just thought, like, wow, the teeth in this film. And I know that's weird. But I mean, what is this podcast without weird? It is a good one. It's not my favorite. It's one of the better ones. I like the music better in this one than I do Love Me Tender.
Yeah, the main issue I had with this is it plays a lot of those songs over again.
Yeah, the repetition is a lot.
And if I don't need to hear some of those songs for a little bit, I'd be okay. I'm okay just taking the entire soundtrack of this film and just putting that in a vault for a good 5 years. I don't need to hear any of these.
See, and there's nostalgia for me because I was gifted a box set of his earlier music on CD, and that was most of them. And so I had forgotten about them because I used those CDs to death. Like, most of them split in half, and I couldn't, because I would, like, listen to them on the bus in secret a lot. So I wore the heck out of them. So they're all broken. It was nice. It was nice to hear them again. I really liked the characters in this. We talked a lot about how much we liked the side character, Skeeter. Scooter?
Skeeter.
Skeeter. Skeeter.
And he's a member of the musical troupe that I guess he's playing the backup guitar.
Yeah.
And him, he's just a good comedy actor, not with everything they say, but his facial, like the way he acts with his face, with his body.
Yeah.
It's just fantastic. Actually, Tex, his character, has some fantastic lines.
I love it.
Just as a older musician who's kind of been burnt by the industry and is not really happy about where he is, the amount of just apathetic lines he has about just casual alcoholism.
You really did rehearse your drinking.
Yeah. Funny too, after the first 5 shots, it all came back to me.
Wanting to die? Just...
Oh, yes.
Let's get down to that barbershop. Maybe I'll get lucky and he'll cut my throat.
Is fantastic.
Yeah.
And these are rapid fire, unflinching, and it's fantastic. But the one thing that stands out the most in this film is my favorite thing about Elvis movies, which only increases from here. And that is Elvis's attendance in the Shatner School of Cinematic Combat. Because there is a fight scene in this film. And
in
this,
every film, there's a stupid fight scene. Okay,
but see, in Love Me Tender, there's only one real scene where Elvis is throwing a punch. And that is the uncomfortable moment where he is beating up his wife.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable for everyone, including the hardened criminals that his brothers left him with.
We won't go back into that.
But in this one, this is the first time that we get a taste of Elvis's stage combat that just makes you feel like he's one set piece away from tossing a styrofoam boulder at a man in a lizard suit. It is so fantastic and unbelievable that you just crave more of it. And with each passing movie, you do get more.
And it does become increasingly like fight the terrible Gorn suit with the styrofoam boulder.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. It keeps on getting hammier and hammier, and it never gets better regardless of the return to some of the more serious films.
In this one, though, I found the fight scene was cathartic because he ends up beating snot out of a horse-faced, 7-foot snarky jerk.
Yeah, with a pretty solid comeback. He also, this is one thing I noticed, he doesn't throw the first punch,
no.
But he definitely ends that fight in a point where, again, it verges back into the Love Me Tender style of fighting, where it gets a little uncomfortable at the end, where he is throwing punches at a guy that you can no longer see behind a diner booth, and the punches just keep on coming, while the crowd actually looks pretty shocked.
There is that beautiful... It's terrible. there's that beautiful scene where you get that split second horror movie girl scream where it's like real tight on her face and her hair's up on her cheeks and she just like screams for like a split second. And I thought, what is that? Why was that necessary? However, at the end though, this is one of the only fights I find out of all of his movies that ends quote unquote stylishly. There's a flair to the end of the fight because if you notice, after he throws that last punch, and I'm just going to call him Horseface, ends up against the jukebox and the music starts playing. Elvis hooks his foot around the guy's foot and yanks him so he slides to the floor.
That is pretty classy.
Exactly.
Classy, air quotes.
Yeah.
It was a fight in a Texas diner. And Elvis was an unemployed, I don't want to quite call him like a vagrant, but he does say that he doesn't have, like, he didn't have a stable job beforehand. He's moved around a bit.
Yeah.
He's, The classy is not the word to use.
But in terms of all of his fight sequences in all of his movies, that one had the most, we'll call it flair. Not class, we'll call it flair.
Yes. I was surprised at the emotional hits in this movie. There was a lot more emotion in it than I was expecting.
Okay.
So you have these tense moments and these emotional moments where Deke Rivers reveals to Glenda that he is not actually Deke Rivers. Deke Rivers is someone who had passed away a long time ago. And he used that name because the tombstone inferred that he had many friends who were with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to live up to that name, be someone who had good friends like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's confessing this to Glenda about how he feels like he's finally gotten there. And that's why he's thinking about not staying with show business, because all of his friends are not being able to keep with the musical group as he's now becoming a duo act just with himself and Tex closer to the end of the film. It was a surprising emotional moment, and he acted incredibly well with it. He did a good job for someone who's, it's their second film. And he's not an actual, like, he wasn't a trained actor. He had just kind of been thrust from doing performances musically to doing two movies of wildly different nature.
Yeah. This is Dolores Hart's first movie with Elvis. Her second one is King Creole. I find her to be fascinating because she did 19 movies, two of them with Elvis, and then became a nun.
Yes, after meeting with the Pope, which I don't know, like I'm not a religious person by any means. But actually meeting one-on-one with the Pope, I don't know what effect that has on someone.
Neither do I, although I'm pretty sure, like, in order to veer that far in that direction after meeting the Pope, I feel like you already had to be on the fence somewhat.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
That's fascinating. She has a documentary out that we're looking forward to watching.
Are we actually going to watch it?
Oh, definitely.
Okay, that sounds fun. I would watch that.
Just because I need to know more about her story and how she got there.
Especially when this documentary is called, oh, what did I say it was? God is the Bigger Elvis?
I think so.
Like, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. Although I'm sure, like, you did two movies with Elvis and then, like, 17 more. And then you just go, like, you know what? This world's messed up. I'm going to go be with God. This sucks. Hi, Mr. Pope. Great. How do I join you? Thank you.
How do I get myself to a nunnery?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we mentioned beforehand that Glenda's PR eventually gets a target on Elvis's back because she plays up how morally corrupt Deke Rivers' music is. And she gets these women riled up about that. And the story goes too far to the point where one of his shows gets canceled in a big venue.
Yes, due to the complaints from the mothers in the town. Yeah.
And then she petitions City Hall in order to have a camera crew come and do a live performance and have a trial on television, because that seems like a solid, realistic idea of what you do when your town turns full footloose. And
yeah, that did seem pretty, like, crank it to 11. And it wasn't even a trial, really. It was just, like, kids going up there being like, yeah, Deke's a good dude. You should let him sing. He's good. And that was it. And that's all it was.
Yeah. There was no counter-argument. I feel like it was a little one-sided. You didn't have any of the ladies show up that were complaining beforehand to talk about how those hips are not safe for TV. They didn't do any of that.
No, they even had, like, not Mickey Rooney go up there and be like, yeah, Deke's a good dude. I worked for him for, like, a few days.
Yeah.
Before he was fired, but we're all super proud of what he's made of himself.
Yeah, and let's be reminded, Glenda actually got him fired from his first job so he'd join up with the musical group because he had no other options.
After he told her specifically that he was actually looking to keep this steady job because it's the first steady job he'd had in a few years.
And Glenda is low-key not a fantastic person. Throughout this entire thing, she is making very horrible decisions that are kind of glossed over.
True.
So she is still romantically stringing along Tex, who we find out is her ex-husband.
Yes.
And she then uses part of his life insurance policy to buy a car.
No, the whole thing. She uses the whole thing.
Oh, sorry. She uses the whole life insurance policy to buy Elvis a fancy car and craft this narrative about how there's this widow who wanted to gift him this vehicle. And then she creates this controversy around this very new-to-fame country boy.
Yep.
Who, basically, it drives him out of town in the final act. And then all this with the whole 50% contract and all this stuff. And it's very Parker. And eventually she's redeemed in the final act of just, she rips up the contract. And then Elvis, after doing the performance in front of people and getting public opinion back on his side and unfootloosing the town, goes up to her and is just like, I want you to manage my career again.
Oh, you and Tex. I want you and Tex to manage things for me.
And it just completely undoes all that fact of just like, oh, Glenda's a terrible person, leave her behind. And then he just completely does a 180 back in there. And then you need to remember that Parker had probably some say in the types of scripts and productions going on.
All the say.
So
even though he said he didn't, he absolutely did.
There had to be some redemption arc, I imagine, there. Otherwise, Elvis would have been like, that kind of seems like the situation I'm in.
Not yet. Because things were still new. So he was still, like, on cloud nine. Like, he's in movies. Like, yeah, you bet.
Yeah, I feel like Elvis just, while playing the character of Deke Rivers, didn't learn anything from the character of Deke Rivers.
No.
This is one of those things where you're playing a character and their story is so close to your actual real life. And you see all the pitfalls that they're making with facsimiles of other people in there.
Yes.
And you don't have the introspection to look at that and realize, wait, this is a little messed up. Maybe I should change this. Maybe I should fix my situation.
Elvis, while talented, was not always the most intelligent, and he wasn't the most perceptive. He just kind of did what he was told, hoping it would lead him to where he wanted to go.
True, but he saw the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, it's just, it's on a big screen in front of you. You'd have to take some look at that. But I get where you're coming from.
But if you're not told, though, it's like, psst, this female character is actually based on your male manager. You should maybe look into that. Yeah. Read into it a bit.
There's some lines you need to be reading in between.
Yeah. But, and he...
yeah.
He wasn't doing that.
No. But I did enjoy it. And as much as Glenda is not a great person, she is a good character in it. Yes. I enjoyed, actually, everyone in this film is great. My main thing is, I feel like some stuff got cut out.
Yeah.
And what got left in was a lot of the same songs over and over again.
Yes.
And we can just take those out. Just take out half of the songs. You can leave in the other half. Take out half of the songs and find me my missing scenes to actually give people their full arc. And we're good. It's a good movie. I think it still holds up pretty well today.
I thought so. But yeah, to your point, like even if it was just like Elvis kind of bringing like socks he had with holes in them or whatever, or like a shirt he needed hemming and just be like, oh, they said you sew while we're traveling. And she's like, yeah, actually, do you want to sit and chat while I fix Tex's socks? There you go.
Yeah.
Meeting scene.
That's all I need.
Yeah. Good establishment there. Then that way you're not just relying on the whole fair scene for whatever reason and that weird cut to the greaseball carny that nobody needed.
No.
But yeah, overall this movie was pretty good. I found the farm scene after he drove Susie back weird. Like, I got it where it was a scene that was necessary because Deke hadn't been told that everyone was fired and not just laid off for a bit. And she thought Deke had driven her home to say goodbye because she thought he knew. And then he got upset because he didn't know. He just actually wanted to spend time with her because he liked her. But beyond that, it was super weird. It was really weird hearing him sing Loving You when there's like the smoking, whatever, pizza bread oven behind them. There's like cows in one scene and chickens in another. And I'm like, okay. And then he wasted the sugar cubes that he specifically brought for the horses. And he ended up just pitching them over his shoulder instead of...
It was a feel like it didn't need to be on a farm. It didn't need to be what it was. It could have just had... Yeah, that whole bit could have been reworked a little bit more.
I agree. Yeah, super bizarre. But I mean, it served a little bit of a purpose. It was just it was really awkward, especially with like Susie's parents there and like...
her young siblings.
Sis and Buzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a no thank you. I don't know. I did enjoy hearing Glenda speak though. She's like a really nice smoker's voice. That's why... we called her, like, definitely not Katharine Hepburn. She kind of has that, like, permanent bedroom eye, gruff, sultry voice. It was nice. It was nice to listen to. Yeah.
I'm not even going to disagree with you on that. I was just thinking about that for a moment, going like, yeah, you're right with that. Yeah. But I think I'd recommend it if you're interested in Elvis's quote-unquote good films. This is, I'm going to say, like, it's still up there. We are still on the upward trend of good Elvis movies.
I think there's two good ones left, and then you jump into the trash heap.
Yeah. We have two more movies climbing up this mountain before we start getting to the caverns and the abyss of the carbon copy Elvis movies.
We're actually going to have to wade through that to figure out which ones need their own episode and which ones we can just group together. Clambake Speedway. Sorry.
Yeah, there's a few that can be lumped together, and then there's a few notoriously awful ones that need their
own
specific episode just so we can go on about them.
Yeah.
But Jess, what movie are we going to be doing next episode?
If I'm not mistaken, it is my second favorite, which is Jailhouse Rock.
And I am looking forward to that because there is so much merch of Jailhouse Rock and I have just the faintest memory of it.
See, and for me, it's one of my favorites because it has... a line that he says in it, and I'm not going to say what it is, because if it's not in a clip in the next episode, I'm going to be real upset. But there's a line in it, and it gets me every time in, like, the pit of my stomach. And it just, like, and it reminds me why I love him so much.
All Well, I think that about does it for this episode about loving you. We hope that you'll also love loving you. And, well, a DVD or Blu-ray, which I could not find, might be hard to find. It is still available on some online rental services. Still have not found a solitary streaming service in all of Canada that has it. But if you can find it, we're sure that you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. So, until next time, enjoy what you enjoy, no matter what the main kids say.
Big thank you to Ethel and the Androids for the use of their song Used to Know You for the intro and the outro. You can find the link to their SoundCloud in the show description, as well as all our links to our social media. And thanks for tuning in and listening to our podcast. If you like the show, be sure to review and subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice.